السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Today we are looking at world news, and thereafter, inshallah, Aziz, we'll be speaking to Malana Ahmed Chauhan Sap. The days of Hajj are near and here, and we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us to fulfill the rites of these Mubarak and blessed days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us full benefit out of the great rewards that are offered on these Mubarak and blessed days. In our current affairs, in our world news stories, we're going to take a look at quite a few different stories, inshallah, as he's very briefly spending a little time on each. The king has announced 1 million Saudi riyals for family of each crane victim. This is a story out of the Arab news. It says the King Salman has ordered massive payouts for the families of those killed and injured in last week's crane crash tragedy, which claimed the lives of 111 people and injured over 238. Said that each victim's family is going to get 1 million Saudi riyals. That's those who have died, and those whose injuries resulted in permanent disability, also a million Saudi riyal. And then those who were injured but will recover, inshallah, they will get 500,000 Saudi riyals. So that's what they are going to be getting. And then also a number of other benefits that they're going to be getting. Like, for example, you have visit visas for families of those in hospital, free Hajj for next year as guests of the king for those who were injured and couldn't complete Hajj this year, free Hajj next year for two family members of those who were killed. And then they said there's a travel ban on the Bin Laden company executives and the Bin Laden group until the case against them is completed. And there's also, according to this news article, a ban on the Bin Laden group from participating in any new government contracts. And so that's a number of issues there out of that tragedy. Obviously, we don't wish for tragedy to ever befall any one of us, and we don't wish for tragedy to ever fall on any individual. It's a kind gesture from the Saudi king to recompense those who have suffered in this tragedy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them their true reward for this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannah. And you know, it just reminds me of an incident of a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope I can remember this incident correctly, where I think it was Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who when receiving benefits and receiving things of this world after the many conquests that the sahaba radiallahu anhu carried out, and the wealth was flying in to Medina Munawwara, and sahaba radiallahu anhu were benefiting from booty and spoils of war, etc. And he recited this ayat, and he cried upon reciting this ayah, and he said, we hope that our rewards will not be gone in this world. And he recited the ayat, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. That whatever good deeds you were supposed to get with your sacrifices in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've used up, you've benefited from those good deeds in this worldly life, and you have taken benefit from it, and you won't have any good deeds left to carry you through and through the akhir. And was really worried about that. Obviously, these victims of this tragedy did not wish to fall victims of this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen them for this, and it is indeed a choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get injured in the haram, or to lose your life in the haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has benefited them in dual ways, that in this dunya, we make dua always to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. So Allah give us good in this world and good in the akhir. And this is one example of that. Then King Salman receives the new kiswa. Our reporter, Brother Faisal Patel, was yesterday visiting the Kiswa factory. He posted some beautiful pics on our Radio Islam Twitter account. And you can see the custodian of two holy mosques, King Salman, receives the new Kiswa from senior guardian of the Kaaba, Salih Al-Shaybi, in Jeddah. That happened yesterday. So, beautiful Kiswa there. Then forged Hajj traffic permits are on sale. That criminals are selling fake Hajj permits to help local drivers enter Makkah illegally. prices ranging from 1,000 Saudi riyals to 2,500 Saudi riyals. And so there's fake Hajj permits. People want to get into Hajj, but they don't have the necessary documentation. And so there's people then going into to want to perform Hajj, but obviously doing so illegally. That's a big question that we've been faced with over the years: regulations and limitations, and then the fake Hajj permits or fake visas and illegal visas or visas through loopholes, etc. It's a big question that comes up, but this is the rule of the authorities of the area, and we need to respect those rules, and we need to make sure that we're performing such an important duty, but obviously we don't go and perform it in a way that would really hamper and would really take away from the spirituality and take away from the beauty of the Mubarak trip that we are going to undertake. And then an Egyptian mogul, a billionaire, identified and negotiating to buy two Greek islands for refugees. A billionaire has been offering to buy a Mediterranean island to provide refugees with decent living conditions. He's identified potential locations and is now in talks to purchase two private Greek islands. His name is Najib Sawiris. His fortune is worth an estimated $3 billion. And he's identified the islands itself, and he's been approached by the UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, and then he's received lots of interest from people who are willing to donate to the project. And there's volunteers as well who are interested in donating. And he's looking at actually buying these islands and settling the refugees at those islands. So, subhanAllah, this is a great gesture of goodwill. It's a gesture of donation. And it's a beautiful thing indeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, make it a success, and Allah ta'ala safeguard and protect all of these refugees and give them a good abode wherever they are going to be. French policemen who have been criticized after scooting disabled men home with patrol cars. So he was on his little scooters, disabled man, and his batteries probably went flat, and so he's so they decided to push him. It broke down, and they decided to push him with his car. So they pulled his car onto the back of his scooter and slowly pushed him right until he got home. Can you imagine that? The scene: police car pushing this old man, and they've come under fire for doing that. Well, it's a good deed. You always get criticized for the good that you try and do. Then the next headline out of RT News: Jasu Charlie now. So we social media outrage over a cartoon mocking death of Syrian toddler Aylin Kurdi. So what happens is that this Charlie Hebdo newspaper mocked the drowning of Syrian toddler Aylin Kurdi. And we know that last week that picture made its rounds, that young boy who was lying face down on the beach. And now they drew a comic and put it on the billboard. They drew a comic and it shows a 2-for-1 McDonald's Happy Meal with a smiling face of the restaurant chain's clown mascot, and says two children's menus for the price of one. That's what it says, and he's there, and it says you just missed so close to the goal. That is what the caption reads. And this is really, really horrible, the way that they've portrayed it. And they've been poking fun at the refugees for a long time. Then there's another headline in RT News of with the grace of a young girl, a 97-year-old Chinese woman climbs tree to pick fruit. And it shows this Chinese woman who is claimed to be 97 years old, and she can nimbly climb a tree to pick fruit. and the woman demonstrates her climbing skills to fascinated spectators who are heard shouting in a mix of encouragement and warning her to be careful. And she climbs up like a little girl. Now that's a country living in good health there. A very sad and very disturbing story that comes out of Europe. Two topless feminine activists disrupted a Muslim conference taking place in Pontoise near northwest of Paris, jumping onto the stage and forcing two imams to leave. They briefly shouted slogans until security dragged them off. "Nobody makes me submit," said the message painted on the breasts of the unnamed woman. The video also shows a man kicking one of the activists as she is lying on the floor. Femen was founded in Ukraine in 2008. It is now based in Paris. The organization is known for its extravagant and controversial topless protests. They describe their ideology with three isms: sextremism, atheism, and feminism. And they've conducted a number of naked attacks in different countries, including Ukraine, France, Sweden, and even Tunisia. So they disrupted Marine Le Pen's May Day speech at a rally hosted by France's National Front Party in Paris. That was on May 1st. And now they've disrupted this Muslim conference. Really sad to see them carrying out something like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And they know what disrupts and what disturbs people, and they just go after that. That is just basically to create controversy. And then this is a harrowing and problematic story that I've come across, also out of RT News. A harrowing video of a man punching an old woman in the face at a supermarket in the Russian city of Syzran has prompted a quick reaction from an investigative committee. The woman was decked with one blow and is said to have suffered an injury to the jaw. She says, "I've never seen this man before and I do not know who he is. I took everything out of the basket and put it on the counter, put the basket to the right of him, and suddenly found myself on the floor." Maybe she was standing too close, maybe whatever. But the issue is, how and what goes through your mind to go and attack an innocent person? No, forget being an old granny with white hair. It could have been any person. What would prompt you to punch a person in the face like that? And this is strange. It's humanity. But it's strange humanity. That's the big problem that we are having there. And then a story that's been making rounds in the U.S. and internationally. I don't know if it's really featured in South Africa in our Twitter lines. We're not seeing much about it. But Irving, ninth grader, arrested after taking homemade clock to school. So you tried to make a bomb. This is what the teacher told him. And this young man, his name is Ahmed Muhammad. He makes his own radios and repairs his own go-kart. He hoped to impress his teachers when he brought a homemade clock to MacArthur High on Monday. Instead, the school phoned police about Ahmed's circuit stuffed pencil case. The 14-year-old missed the student council meeting and took a trip in handcuffs to juvenile detention. His clock now sits in an evidence room. Police say they may yet charge him with making a hoax bomb, though they acknowledge he told everyone who would listen that it's a clock. So he's been suspended, his father is upset, and there's another incident of Islamophobia that just took place. He actually made this clock, and he took it to his engineering teacher first thing on Monday morning, and he wanted to show the engineering teacher that this is what I made, it's a digital clock. And now they have suspended him, they've accused him of making a false bomb and the like thereof. It's really strange. Don't you to listen a little bit to what Ahmed has said about this, and I hope you can listen clearly. I'm just going to play it now so you can hear from Ahmed exactly what he says about this.
For example, inventing this type of stuff right here, transformer. You get what I'm saying here. But I made a clock. It was really easy. I wanted to show her something small at first. But it took a wrong point of it, and they thought it was a bomb. So I got arrested for a hoax bomb. officer and the principal came and took me up. And they took me to a room filled with 5 officers, which they interrogated me and searched through my stuff and took my tablet and my invention. And then later that day, I was taken to a juvenile center detention center where they searched me, they took a fingerprint and mugshots of me, and they searched me until my parents came and I got to leave the building and the station. And I went home and talked to my parents about it because I couldn't call my parents during the interrogation. Until I got, it was a digital clock, and the digital display had four number lines on it. A number line at hour and a number line at minute. And the clock was made in a metal case, a metal box, and I put the circuit board in there with the digital display in there with it. And I put it in place, and I showed my teacher, and it got to the point where I was arrested. But it was made, and I closed it with a cable. So, because I didn't want to lock it to make it seem like a threat, so I just used a simple cable. So it won't look that much suspicious. And they, the clock itself, it was in a box you see at Target for like $5-$10. And they were telling me it's a suitcase, briefcase. They were like, a movie bomb, which is what they were charging me of. No, I never said anything about, I have a bomb, never. It made me feel like I wasn't human. It made me feel like a criminal.
So this is what happened to young Ahmed Muhammad, and the teachers are still holding strong to their story. They haven't really responded to news, etc. And his father says he just wants to invent good things for mankind. But because his name is Muhammad, and because of September 11th, I think my son got mistreated. And, well, this type of victimization is going to continue. And we really have to show our good akhlaq and our good character as Muslims, inshallah al-Aziz, so that people can realize, people can understand that this is not the way they should behave with regards to Muslims, and this is not the way that they should deal and abuse Muslims. Well, it's just gone now, 11:30, you're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. After the break, we'll be joined by Mawlana Ahmed Chauhan. Stay tuned.
Radio Islam signed a code of conduct with the BCCSA. Under that code, we are committed to news that is accurate, comment that is fair, and programs that are not harmful to children. Does not amount to hate speech, the description of gratuitous violence, or explicit sex. If you think we are not living up to that code, inform the BCCSA. Direct any complaints in writing to BCCSA, P.O. Box 412-365, Craig Hall 2024. Email bccsa@napsa.co.za. Please note our new address and telephone number. Block number 8, Burnside Island Office Park, 410 Jan Smuts Avenue, Craig Hall 2196. Telephone number 011-326-3130. Fax number 011-326-3197. For more information, visit bccsa.co.za.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love, but I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child, this is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find and will certainly satisfy any hungry belly.
Thank you, Mommy, for buying a killer fragrant rice.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397.
Madrasatu Salihat invites all ladies to its annual Jalsa on Saturday, 19th September 2015, corresponding to the 4th of Zilhijjah 1436. Venue, Madrasatu Salihat, 30 Bird Street, Mayfair. Time, 1:15 p.m. Discover your power. Be a woman of inspiration. Leave a legacy. Join Madrasatu Salihat as we showcase how you can be instrumental in building society. You will be inspired, entertained, and enlightened. Don't miss out.
Here we go. ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo estaba diciendo, para mí, es aquí un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Perez Motor Spares is a place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Perez Motor Spares, 48 Peter Ace Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100. Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashrif, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome to our guest this morning, Mawlana Ahmed Chohan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mawlana?
I'm very well, alhamdulillah, shukr, Mawlana. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
The Mubarak and blessed days of Hajj are upon us now. Alhamdulillah, must be good atmosphere there as well.
No, alhamdulillah, Mawlana. Alhamdulillah, you can see the Qurbani animals are coming in, and young and old, all, alhamdulillah, getting activated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all our Qurbani, and Allah give us the real spirit of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in every aspect of his life, Mawlana, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Mawlana, inshallah, we continue with the shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mubarak characteristics of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the honorable listeners of Radio Islam International. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmuduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihil kareem amma ba'd. We discussed various aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sublime conduct insofar as sleeping is concerned. We discussed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeping at night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's qailullah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ahadith with regards to the different positions in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept. We discussed the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bedding of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his awakening, his sleeping. And today, inshallah, as we had begun towards the end of the last program, and that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, most especially, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would retire to bed. One was the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep. And number two was the portions of the Qur'an that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite. Now, we had discussed last week, when we look at the surahs, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, we will find that in these surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like other parts of the Quran, but more especially in these surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken very, very briefly sometimes about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, Allah's might. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would speak about His innumerable favors upon us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us through this journey of life. Allah brings us to the interim period, our maut, our barzakh, life in the qabr. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes us to akhirat. And inshallah, the important aspects of this is the recitation, which can never ever be denied. We all have to recite these surahs in conforming with the sunnah and the tariqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we will only enhance this if we begin to understand the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving in these surahs. And we will find that there are very, very important messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And perhaps if we do this before we sleep, we make tilawat of these surahs, these ayat of the Quran Kareem, it will begin to change the direction of our lives. It will begin to change the way in which we think. It will begin to lessen our hopes, false hopes in this dunya. We begin to understand the fleeting nature of this dunya, the reality of maut, and definitely the coming of the day of Qiyamah, and of course the entire hereafter becomes quite evident in our lives. It becomes a vivid picture in our minds, and inshallah in this way it will only enhance us, and it will gain through it we will gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll just repeat one or two of the surahs we discussed last week, and then we will continue. One was the recitation of Surah Sajda, which is generally known as Alif Lam Mim Sajda, that is in the 21st juz of the Quran Kareem. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not go to bed before reciting Surah Sajda. And then the second surah that comes in this hadith is Surah Mulk, and that is the first surah of the 29th juz of the Quran Kareem. Similarly, we find Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited Surah Sajda every night. In other words, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's narration here and the one before Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu's narration, both the narrations indicate that this was done continuously by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam commanded me not to sleep before reciting Surah Hamim As-Sajda and Surah Mulk. Surah Hamim As-Sajda appears in the 24th juz of the Quran Kareem, and again Surah Mulk has been mentioned in this hadith. Particularly with regards to Surah Mulk, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that there is a surah in the Quran containing 30 verses, 30 ayats, which intercede on behalf of one who recites it until he is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is Tabarakalladhi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivers to us the virtue of the surah. Each one of us are in need of the forgiveness of Allah. Forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most certainly means that entry into Jannah, and obviously all of us are in need of it. So hence we should try and make an attempt to recite Surah Mulk. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared Surah Mulk to be a surah which protects the reciter from the punishment of the qabr. It protects the reciter from the punishment of the qabr. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that it was also commonly known as Al-Man'iyah during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that means it protects a person from the punishment of the qabr. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that this surah argues on behalf of the reciter. An argument in terms of the hadith in these instances refer to intercession, like how a lawyer, a barrister will argue a case in favor of a person, like that these surahs and the Quran in itself argue on behalf of a person. It becomes an intercessor on behalf of the reciter whilst he is in the qabr, whilst he is in the grave. It will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I am a portion of your book. Either accept my intercession on behalf of the person who reads me, or obliterate me from your book. Now this is actually a very, very forceful, a very, very powerful intercession that Surah Mulk makes on behalf of the person that recites it. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a particular sahabi pitched a tent at a spot, not knowing that there was a grave directly beneath that. He suddenly heard the sound of Surah Mulk from within. He informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the surah protects one from the azab of the qabr and grants deliverance to that person. Now again, we found that this whole series of ahadith speak about the intercession of Surah Al-Mulk. It speaks about the protection from the azab of the qabr. It speaks about the intercession, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making tilawat of these surahs. So in these set of hadith we learn the importance about reciting Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Hamim Sajda, and also Surah Mulk. Then we will find Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not sleep before reciting Surah Zumar. Surah Zumar appears in the 23rd juz of the Quran Karim, and Surah Bani Israel. Surah Bani Israel appears at the very beginning of the 15th juz of the Quran Karim. And again, really, when we look at the subject matter of those two surahs, absolutely important, great correlations between these surahs and our iman, these surahs and our deen, these surahs and our realization of tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will find the hadith of what is termed as the musabbihat. Musabbihat refers to those surahs that commence with the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض. Or in another tense, يسبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. So all these surahs are known as the musabbihat. Now these surahs are, number one, Surah Al-Hadid, which is the 57th chapter, 57th surah of the Quran. Surah Al-Hashr, which is the 59th surah of the Quran Kareem. Surah Saf, which is the 61st chapter of the Quran Kareem. Surah Jumu'ah, which is chapter number 62 of the Quran Kareem. Surah Taghabun, which is chapter number 64 of the Quran Kareem. And Surah A'la, which is the 87th chapter of the Quran Kareem. We'll just go through that again. Number one is Surah Al-Hadid, chapter number 57. Surah Hashr, chapter number 59. Surah Saf, chapter number 61. Surah Jumu'ah, chapter number 62. Surah Taghabun, chapter number 64. And Surah A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la, chapter number 87 of the Quran Kareem. So these surahs are known as the musabbihat, and in this narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not sleep before reciting the musabbihat. Now we will discuss some of the verses that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has recited, but perhaps just an idea or two for our listeners. If we are reciting all this, alhamdulillah, we should continue the recitation. If not, let us try ayat by ayat, surah by surah. Let us do one surah at a time and then try and create the habit, inculcate the habit, and try and recite more and more of the surahs that have been mentioned by our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one was Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, the other was Surah Hamim Sajda, the one was Surah Mulk, and then we find Surah Zumar, and we find Surah Bani Israel, and then the Musabbihat. Then also, we will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited verses, independent verses, sometimes two or three verses put together of the Quran Kareem. And in this way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this the habit. We will find Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the last few verses of Surah Al-Imran every night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the last few verses of Surah Al-Imran every night. Then Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Surah Kafirun when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered his bed. And together with that, we will find that Sayyidina Nawfal rahmatullah alayhi narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his father to recite Surah Kafirun every night before sleeping, as it will ensure him from freedom of shirk. When we look at Surah Al-Kafirun, we will find that Surah Al-Kafirun in itself is a surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that way the whole ummah, to distinguish between iman and kufr, iman and shirk, polytheism, ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ That I do not worship what you worship. And obviously, the surah goes on, and I will not worship what you worship. And the important part of the surah, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ For you is your deen, for me is my deen. In other words, there is no compromise in our deen. So when we begin to contemplate on the meanings of these surahs, we will find that they are very, very important messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers to us. Then the Mu'awaz attain, and that is the last two surahs of the Quran Kareem, which you begin with A'udhu, that's Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, and Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Nas. Again, our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, narrates that every night when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to bed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the last three surahs of the Quran Majid. And then he would bring his palms together, as is done in supplicating, and then he would blow therein. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pass his palms all over his body. Now, we find in Mishkatul Masabih, there is one narration that he would begin with his head, and then his face, and then the rest of the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This sunnah actually has tremendous benefits. On the one hand, we all need to realize, and we all understand, that we are always vulnerable to two forms of calamities. The calamity of this earth, earthly calamities, and heavenly calamities. So in these two surahs, we safeguard ourselves from the effects of both the earthly calamities and also the heavenly calamities. Calamities insofar as our dunya is concerned, calamities insofar as our deen is concerned, calamities insofar as our dunya is concerned, calamities insofar as our akhirat is concerned. We safeguard ourselves from all sorts of these calamities. The earthly, dunyavi calamities are the effects of sorcery and black magic. A person sometimes has fear, sometimes a person has terror, sometimes it is the whisper of shaitan, sometimes it is nightmares. Whatever it may be, we always, when we read this, we are always in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, obviously, whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wills will happen, but we should have the yaqeen that we will be protecting ourselves from these difficulties and these calamities. Then we will find the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to Ayatul Kursi. It is said that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, I cannot understand how any intelligent Muslim would go to bed without reciting Ayatul Kursi. Now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has actually provoked our intelligence, our faculty of intelligence, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu calls us to understand that we are intelligent beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a process of thought. Allah has given us the power of thinking, the power of discriminating, the power of realizing. And hence, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I cannot understand how any intelligent Muslim would go to bed without reciting Ayatul Kursi. It is narrated in another hadith that if a person recites Ayatul Kursi at bedtime, an angel will be appointed to protect him, and shaitan will not be able to approach him till the morning. Whoever recites it while lying in his bed will be in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even the surrounding homes will be also protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the recital of Ayatul Kursi, especially at bedtime, wards many misfortunes, including the whispering of shaitan, also that of sorcery, and all of us should try as far as possible to make the practice of reciting these ayat or surahs of the Quran Kareem. So we'll just go through that again. Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, that is Surah Ikhlas, and then Surah Falaq, and then Surah Nas. Blow into our hands, put our hands together as though we are making wudu, as though we are making dua. Blow into our hands and then wipe it upon our body, starting from our head, our face, and then the rest of our body, and in that inshallah will be a protection. And then Ayatul Kursi also will also further then fortify that protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us. Then we find the hadith of the Shaddad bin Aus رضي الله تعالى عنه he narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to protect the person who recites any surah of the Quran Kareem before going to bed. This angel protects the person till he awakens. So here in this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a Shaddad bin Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is no specific surah, so we can read any surah of the Quran Kareem, but obviously when they have been specified surahs, we should try to recite those specific surahs also. Then you will find the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the general recitation of the Quran Kareem. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites 40 verses of the Quran at night will not be counted amongst the ghafilun. Ghafilun refers to those who are negligent, those who are not in a state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever reads 100 verses will be counted amongst the qanitun, that is those who exert themselves in the devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this narration is quite clear that just to recite the Quran Kareem, whatever part of the Quran Kareem, 40 ayats, then you will not be regarded as the ghafilun, you will not be regarded as the negligent, and 100 ayats, you will not be regarded as the qanitun. The narration also of Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak states that even if a person reads 10 verses, he will not be regarded amongst the ghafilun. Then particularly, we spoke about the Musabbihat. Surah Hashr is amongst the Musabbihat, and particularly we find a narration of the last verses of Surah Al-Hashr. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed a person to read the closing verses of Surah Hashr before sleeping. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him that if he passed away on that night, he would either attain the reward of a martyr or he would enter Jannah directly. Now here, the reward of a martyr undoubtedly is Jannah, but if a person does not attain and acquire the ranks of Shahadat of martyrdom, at least the minimum is the person will get Jannah, and some of the Muhaddithin have stated it means Jannah directly. Jannah, when a person dies with Iman, a person leaves this world with Iman, he will attain Jannah inshallah. However, if there were sins that the person had committed for which he had not made Tawbah, then that person will have to go into the fire of Jahannam. Allah save us all. Unfortunately, that person goes into the fire of Jahannam and then that person is purified. It is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to disgrace the person, that Allah puts the person into the fire of Jahannam, but Allah ta'ala does it to cleanse the person, then that person gets Jannat. But by reciting this last few verses of Surah Al-Hashr, and ulama have said it starts from Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of the Asma'ullah al-Husna, some of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person will at least get Jannah directly, inshaAllah. So that is the last and the closing verses of Surah Al-Hashr. Then we find the last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah has also been mentioned by our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi narrates that Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Shaitan will not enter the home of that person for 3 days who reads 10 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, these 10 verses a person may read, but also there are some narrations that state that it is Ayatul Kursi and then the 2 verses that come and appear after Ayatul Kursi. After Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the 2 verses, La ikraha fi al-deen, and then Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-zulumati ila al-nur. If a person recites that, and then the last 3 verses of the surah, that is of Surah Al-Baqarah, that is from Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, till the end of the surah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect. If we count that effectively, that is 6 verses. So if a person wants to add on into the 6 verses, that will also be fine. Another narration of Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that whoever recites these verses at the time of going to bed, then that person will not forget the Quran Kareem. Now, this is especially for Huffaz Kiram, but this is in actual fact a bonus that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a person, and Allah ta'ala grants these bonuses from time to time, but it does not mean that a person should not make tilawat of the Qur'an Kareem, or a hafiz should not make door of the Qur'an Kareem. All that should be also in its place to fortify our memory and also to make tilawat and then to create that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then with regards to the last three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, there is a narration of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and again he uses the very, very same words that he used in the previous narrations. I cannot understand how any intelligent person could go to bed without reciting the last three verses of Surah Baqarah. Now, the last three verses of Surah Baqarah will begin from the end of the surah, from the beginning of the ruku, and in some narrations, it is the last two verses of Surah Baqarah, beginning from Amana Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun. So these are also verses that will fortify us, and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also guaranteed in these. Then we will find another very, very important aspect. So one was the tilawat of some of the longer surahs of the Qur'an, some were the tilawat of the shorter surahs of the Qur'an Kareem, some were the tilawat of selected ayat and verses of the Qur'an Kareem, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also engage in dhikr, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also encourage the ummah to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never could it be that a Muslim falls off to sleep in the condition of wudu and whilst being engaged in the dhikr of Allah, and thereafter wakes up in the dead of night to ask for any of his worldly or needs of the hereafter, and that's such a supplication is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never could it be that a Muslim falls off to sleep in the condition of wudu and whilst being engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the person falls off to sleep. Thereafter the person wakes up, he awakens in the dead of night, and then he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he seeks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his needs of this world and his needs of the hereafter. It can never be that such a supplication is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we find that we make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we sleep in the condition, in the state of wudu, as we had discussed before also, and then we make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will accept that dua. And that dua, obviously, it best would be a person gets up, a person makes miswaq, makes wudu, perform a few rakat of tahajjud salat, and then makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the ultimate and the optimum. But if one cannot even do that, but once if one is still lying in his bed and he makes dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat, again, the heart is linking with Allah, the heart is connecting with Allah, and most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to the supplication of such a person. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards the straight path, towards the sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sallallahu ala Nabi Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan walana for your time. Inshallah, we will speak next week.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran jazilan to Mulan Ahmad Chauhan Sahib. Shukran to my studio operator, Brother Ziad Khan, and to you for listening from Junaid Jasad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.